Turn to one verse with me, Proverbs 17:22. Tonight I'd like to speak about joy. And we're going to have a good time. Yeah, joy. Oh, man. Joy. Good. Merry heart does good like medicine. It's one of our verses here, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart. Is it up there? There it is. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, how does a joyful heart affect our lives? How does it affect our body? Maybe hormones, dopamine, other stimulants are released in our body. Maybe stress is relieved. And we just have a good belly laugh. That's awesome. Have you ever laughed so hard that you just cry? Yeah. Wouldn't it be amazing if it was every day, wouldn't it? I don't know. It doesn't happen to me every day, but that'd be fun. Maybe. Sorrow is part of life, and that's undeniable. To be sober, serious, that's part of life, but so is joy. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. It's His nature. He is a joyful God because love thinks a certain way. Love does not think evil. Love thinks the best. Love is encouraging. Love reaches out. And so does a merry heart. We are able to lose our burden and our heaviness, and at times the heaviness sticks with us. But we have to also learn to release ourselves by a song, by words, by prayer, by submission, by worship, to come into the presence of God and worship Him. Is expressing ourselves. I think the lockdown this past year has affected people in a negative way because of the seriousness, the fear, the isolation, the lack of a merry heart. But that's not for us. No, that's not for us. A merry heart is the way we live. You learn to enjoy little things. How many of you like how many of the ladies you like flowers? Okay. How about guys? You like cars, trucks? Let's see, tractors, machines, motorcycles. How many of you like little things? A sunny day, a good day. All of this is part of life. How about a good conversation? How about a good friend? How about a happy, good word? What about a word of grace? If somebody gives me grace, they say, I love you. Wow, really? When I was in Bible college, one of my friends was depressed. He sat on the porch and he told me the story. He said, I was sad and depressed all afternoon. And then a dog came up and licked my hand. And it changed my life. You love me? If the dog loves me, and then the logical consequence was, maybe God loves me also. I remember when Martin Luther, he fell into a depression, and Catherine, his wife, dressed in black. And he said, why are you doing that? And she said, because God is dead. He fell into a depression. She corrected him by dressing in black and saying, God is dead. Let us be depressed. There's no hope. It's over. God is dead. Think about it. He isn't. He made you. He made the stars, the fish, the sea. He made the beautiful things. And let us enjoy them. How about a little baby and their little feet? They're about that big, right? The little feet and just kind of, and the chubby cheeks. And what a miracle a child is. What a miracle an angel is. What a miracle to be forgiven. What a miracle to have Christ that shed his blood to save us. What a miracle our name is in the book of life. Isn't it amazing? So that'll be our message tonight. I want to have a good time here tonight before we do the announcements and take the offering and have a song. I'd like you just to have a happy attitude. Would you stand with me just for a minute? I know it's Wednesday. It's hard to get you on your feet on Wednesday. One of these coronavirus jokes was that as the lockdown continues and I'm eating more and more food, the buttons on my shirt are starting to social distance. Okay. Okay, so hey, have a good attitude, be thankful, turn to your neighbor, build them up, love them up, have a good night tonight in Jesus' name. All right, go ahead. Take a few minutes. You know, you appreciate the quality of people's lives when you know them. And we worship God. She glorifies God with her life and the song and with Raj and Liz and the team and the work of God in Izmir. It's amazing. Also, our convention coming up in the end of June. And again, we assemble every year and we hear, we watch, we discern, we recognize the work of God. I was with the high school seniors today and we were on the deck teaching them. And I just look at each life and ask you to keep them in your prayers as they graduate and move on into the next phase of their lives. And again, discerning, recognizing, forgiving, loving, encouraging. And then I was thinking of the little, very little ones and to pray for the little ones. I mean, you know, the newborn and one-year-old and two-year-old children amongst us to actually believe God for them, that God will work in their lives and their families blessed. So we are in a great work. We are in an amazing work of grace that is happening in the 21st century. And many works of God in our country and around the world, and we are happy to be part of it. And it is relating to the fact that Christ is the head of the body. He is the head of the church, and he has a mind, and we have been given that mind. We read that in 1 Corinthians 2. And that has to do with the subject of joy, because that is his mind. I mean, one of the characteristics of it. So Spurgeon said, there's a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy with oil, holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please, for our text. And I think we will quote some of the verses we're not turning to, but follow with me. Psalm 16:8, regarding the Messiah. His body would not see corruption, but his body would be glorified, raised from the grave. And in God's presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is what we are born into by our new birth. We are born again into the presence of God with his joy. Psalm 32, we are blessed because we have been forgiven. Sometimes I think of myself as a very bad sinner, and I am, but then I'm not. Hallelujah. But I could be. And think of the very bad things that people do, and then to be forgiven of them. And so this is where our blessedness comes from. I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. God has given me grace. He has given me joy. Weeping happens in the night, Psalm 30, verse 5, but joy comes in the morning. What kind of morning? The morning when Jesus, remember, they were fishing and said, throw your net on the right side. Joy coming in a fresh, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Then we have the forgiveness of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit within me. Not a critical spirit, but a joyful spirit. Not judging people or myself, but forgiving myself and putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness happens to all of us. We get heavy regarding the thorns, the cares of this life, the heavy things that happen in this world. But I want to draw a little picture here of a concept that to share with you. This is from a poem by George Herbert called The Sighs. You know, some of you poets might know his name, but amazing poet. I don't remember, a long time ago, 14th, 13th century, The Sighs. And the theme of the poem, actually I copied the piece I wanted to share with you. This poem, about this poem, that's all I'm going to read. This is a poem in which Herbert directly addresses his own heart. We often have an unhealthy desire to enjoy a bigger allotment of pleasure than the Lord has assigned to us in this world. Like we believe that the amount of pleasure we should have is bigger than what God gives us. Right? Like, I want, or this is what I want, and you know, this is, and the poem is saying, I should have another kind of mindset regarding what I have in this life, and enjoy it, what I have, and enjoy it, because in heaven, okay, in heaven is really where our treasure is. And the things that really count are ours in that life and in this one. Love, joy, peace. So this is how we live. Love, joy, peace is our new life now. For the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And maybe we err by having a bigger concept of what we deserve or what we should have. And maybe we need to make an adjustment and say, I have a lot. I actually have a lot, and I enjoy it because I enjoy God. And God is teaching me to enjoy and be lighthearted and very thankful for what it is that I have. Jesus said in Luke 10, rejoice not that you can cast out demons, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. So it's great to cast out demons, but there's a greater thing happening. Your name is in the book of life. That God is for you. Now think about this for a second. God is for me. I have a short list here. God is for you and rejoices over you. God has given to you repentance. We changed. We woke up. We turned from idols to God. We turned to God from idols, actually. It's chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Look at that verse on repentance. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. This is King James English, so I want to take a minute. They show us what manner of entering in we had. Another way of saying that is that the way we came to your city and we started to preach and you started to rejoice and repent and turn from idols to God, that showed us the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we saw that, we realized this is a work of grace. This is what we want to see happening around the world. That God's people will go places and we will see how Christ saves souls, how he changes lives, how they turn from idols to God. Wow. Let's look at the verse again. It says, he's writing to the Thessalonians, and he's saying that other parts of the country are talking about you, how you have turned, verse 9, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So, Thessalonian people were a source of joy for the Apostle Paul. He saw it. And I was thinking, last year we had June Alive in Baltimore, and that was when we decided to reach out to the city. And Pastor Gary Grunwald and Ronaldo and Pat Lynch and a team of people, and we had 3-on-3 basketball games here on the parking lot. And we had joy, you know, we had joy in our work, just like we do. And we're saying that God, this is how he, when he thinks about you and me, he says, I have turned them. They fear me, Psalm 147:11. They are praying to me, Proverbs 15:8. They are hoping in my mercy. They are meek in Psalm 149:4, and they are upright. So I will prosper them, Deuteronomy 30:9. I will do them good, Deuteronomy 28:63. Do you feel that God is doing you good? Do you sense it in your spirit and in your heart? We are unworthy, but this is where our joy comes from. We have been forgiven. He has created in us a new heart, and we rejoice in his righteousness. And he delights to do us good. Deuteronomy 28:63. Then he leads us and he wants to and does deliver us. 2 Samuel 22:20 comforts us, gives us an inheritance. And we see this exemplified by many people in the Bible, whether it is David, he prospered wherever he went, whether it was Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 9, when they saw his court, they said that this man is an extraordinary man. Look at the people around him. Look at his throne. What has happened? It is his God that has done well for him. It's God that has done it. So, turn now to 1 Thessalonians 2, and I want you just to notice this, and I feel this in our hearts. I think we're together on this. In the church at Thessalonica, Paul is writing to them and saying how we entered, we came, how you received the word with a lot of joy, verse chapter 1 and verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Spirit. There's something about going on a mission. There's something about piling into a car and driving an hour or two and ministering and loving and edifying and having a faith vision. I remember very distinctly, I was living in Finland as a young man, and I was in the office, and I said, I don't know if it was a Monday night or a Tuesday night, I go, we don't have anything on the schedule, guys, you want to go with me? We'll go to a small town an hour from here. They said, yeah, let's go. So we piled in the car, we drove to Viti, small town. We just found it on the map, like through a dart. They were going to Viti, so we drove there. Young couple of young men standing outside the cafe. Guess who one of them was? Tapio Savonen. Yep, he came. We ministered. We had time, and Tapio's here tonight, probably sitting over here, and his family, and so on. What does this mean? These works of faith that you and I do is one of the sources of our joy. It's where we say God is real. We didn't do that. God did that. We don't know exactly what we're doing. We are faith walkers to Frederick, Maryland, where Pastor Dennis White and Pastor Jason Moore, Pastor Jason Wilmington. We are faith walkers, Owings Mills, Federal Hill. We don't have to be busy. We're just walking by faith with God, asking God to bless our work and our relationships. So we're riding in the car. We start telling jokes and goofing around and quoting the Bible and praying together And we talk to people, and we minister to them, and we share our faith with them. What if that was happening all over the United States tonight? Every church was on the move with the joy and the peace and the love. What would happen? How many people would come to Christ? How many prayers would be answered? How much would happen because of the spirit that we have and the joy that we have. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Well, there's many things. What is our hope? We could say our children are maybe a hope or a relationship of some kind is our hope, or a job or a career or a home or something. That might be our hope. But what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That's it. That our hope is that the church would be healthy. Our hope is that we would be prospering. Our hope would be that God would put his hand on us, and that God would help us in life, and that he'd teach us righteousness. And we turn from our idols to the living God and make him the only thing. And I have to say something. I have to do that in my heart every once in a while. I have to make my calibration in my life. Something that becomes too meaning, too important. So I bring it to the cross. Or if something disturbs me, I have to go to the cross and ask God to renew me and get the right size, like that picture, the right size for my life. Like, I do not need this or that. I just would like that we as believers would finish our course with joy. I don't know about this or that, but I would like it that we as a body would be increasing and growing, and people would get delivered from the works of evil, from the devil and the lies that are so prevailing in our world and in our society. No, I want his truth in my heart and joy. You know why people have, they have external world that they live in, and then when it collapses, their internal world collapses. They have an external world that they're living in, maybe big size, you know, big thing. And then when it's gone, where it doesn't happen, then they are empty and their world collapses. We have it the other way. Our internal world is to be satisfying. If it isn't, seek God. He will fill you. He will satisfy you. If your internal world is weak, and it may not be able to hold up in life, even in normal circumstance, even in very little trials, even in a, you know, the coffee spills or something, or there's an argument in your house, or, you know, it's the end of the world because you haven't found the reality of the living God. And we turn from idols to the living God. Then he is enough. He is enough. What about the little that I have? With food and raiment, therewith be content. Isn't it easy for many of us to say that? But because, you know what I mean. But yeah, that's our perspective of things. Okay, amen. Okay, we're almost done here. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. It says, are not even ye in the present? That's our joy, our hope, our crown. People having fun in the Lord. People growing up in the Lord. People, a good phone call from abroad. I told one man today, living abroad, I go, I want you to tell your wife, she is a very, very, very good woman. I said, tell your wife, I'm so blessed by her. And I know he's wondering, why am I saying this? And then I explained, I go, because she supports you. She's behind you. She's that secret behind you in your life. You have a ministry, and you're a team, and your wife is very, very godly and focused woman. She's a blessing. And he laughed, and he goes, thank you, so I'm going to tell her that. That I couldn't mean it more. It's beautiful. You know, people are precious. Hearts of people are precious. This is where our joy comes from. It's kind of like a little quiet smile that you have in your heart when somebody is a godly person, or if somebody's not demanding or murmuring or complaining or whining, but they are godly. They have found God. They're quietly godly. They're a godly person. They're just quietly abiding. I want to say this too about the women in our church. These are amazing women in our church. These are amazing women. They are amazing women. Honest. They are 1 Peter chapter 3. They are clothed with a beauty that's called a quiet. What is it called? A quiet and what spirit? Meek and quiet spirit. They are just like godly women that are helping us so much in the ministry and in their wisdom and their love and their godliness. They are godly women. They are amazing women. Thank you, Lord. This is our joy. The love, the unity, good works that happen, the fruit of it is beautiful. And Paul said, are entering in unto you as into your city and into your hearts. It all happened, and it was not in vain. In chapter 2 and verse 1. Now let's finish verse 30. For you are our glory and joy. People are joy. A lot of people think people are dangerous. I'll stay away. I'll guard myself. And I understand it. I agree. I mean, people can be pain, inflict a lot of trouble and a lot of pain, a lot of broken hearts, a lot of sadness, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of arguing, a lot of stress. It can happen with people. But then we read this, you are our joy and our crown and our rejoicing, the body of Christ. You, how did that happen? But God gave us his favor, his grace, his love, his joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. What kind of church are we? A joyful one. How did it happen? He did it. He is the God of all grace, who produces joy in our hearts and peace. We are getting older, but you don't see it that clearly because we just aren't aging like other people. Our youth is renewed. You know, I tell myself that every day. Try to convince myself. No. Hey, no, it's true though, isn't it? Let's see, one last word on joy. I think I can find something here. God rewards his servants. Billy Bray was a miner. He accepted Christ in 1823. He lived a life of drunkenness and debauchery before his salvation, but he became such an outgoing witness and testimony for God that he became known as God's glad man. One time he was digging potatoes from his garden and felt the devil. It seemed to him the devil said, Billy Bray, God doesn't love you. If he did, he wouldn't give you such puny potatoes. And so few. Such puny and so few potatoes, Billy Bray. Do you hear me? But Billy Bray didn't listen to the devil's temptation. He talked back to him. He said, I served you long and true, devil. And no better servant could a master ever have than I was to you. But when I served you, you didn't give me any potatoes. Yeah, put that in your pipe, devil. Okay. You didn't give me, when I served you, you didn't give me anything good for my efforts. Billy Bray reminded himself that the burden he had serving Christ was lighter than he had serving the devil. You know, that's it. We have a lightness about us. We are serving God. We must serve him with gladness. It says in Deuteronomy 28, is it 48? We must serve him with gladness because this is his nature. And if I lose my joy, I need to find it again. If I get troubled about things, maybe my size is wrong. Maybe I'm expecting something not really from God. Let God give to me what he will, And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And we have what we need. I'm anticipating a great spring. I'm anticipating a summer based on whatever he will give us. I'm anticipating new people. I'm anticipating a ministry of the Word of God to the hearts of people that will change us from glory to glory. Be patient and trust him in every area of your life. Don't lose your joy. Enjoy it. Walk in it. A merry heart does good like medicine. Learn how to talk, how to lighten people's loads, how to break the tension and the seriousness that happens amongst people. Be lighthearted, be a storyteller, invest in others, and lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm packing up my papers and going home. My potatoes might be small, few, and puny, but at least I got some. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Lord, it's a Wednesday night. We're rejoicing in you. We understand the troubles in life, but we also know your grace. Paul said, I even rejoice in my troubles, my tribulations, because by knowing God in them, I have found greater grace. I have found grace is enough. I have found God is enough for me. In our light affliction, we find God is enough for us. This helps us live in a troubled world with a message, and the world needs it. If you're here tonight and don't have Christ in your heart, it's just a decision. Excuse me, it's a decision in your heart to God. Turn to God with all your heart, and you will know him. Walk by faith in him. The word of God will speak to you. You will say prayers and he will answer. He is your heavenly Father and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's all we need. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not lack. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. He is enough for us. Come to him, trust in him. In Jesus' name, say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I believe. Lead me in faith, teach me. In Christ's name. Anyone saying that prayer, just raise your hand. The ushers, there's Pastor Liam back there. Thank you, ma'am, right down front. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Anyone? Right here, Liam. Anyone? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Beautiful.